from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Ron, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Michael. David, how are you boys doing today?
Doing well.
We're living the dream. You know that. And I got to tell you, it's so much fun that the Cubs have gotten on a little bit of a roll here. And we don't want it to end. We want the run-splosion, if you will, to continue. And you look at, you know, you're in Washington, the Nationals. Look, they brought up a lot of young players. They're playing better than they had earlier in the year. The future looks bright. We all love Mike Rizzo. But this is a chance to keep winning series and maybe stack some wins here.
Yeah, I would agree. I definitely agree. You have to do your job now. You did it in Pittsburgh, and things went real well. Offense, as you said, was exploding. And now you get three games here in D.C., and then you go home and play three games against Pittsburgh again. So you get six more games against teams that have been down all year. And you've got to take care of business in these next six. And, you know, the Nationals have played pretty good. I believe they won the series against the Yankees two series ago. So they've played pretty good baseball here as of late. But you have to win these series and, you know, probably sweep one of these next two series for sure.
So, Ron, in seven games, I think the Cubs scored 76 runs. It was the most they had in any such span since 1961. All of a sudden, the bats that we've been complaining about being too quiet all summer long woke up. Why did they wake up?
Well, there's a combination. I think good at bats by the group, guys hitting the ball the other way, just doing all the things you need to do. You know, that's first and foremost because, you know, you got to put the ball in play. And then, you know, you've got to look at the opposing team, and Pittsburgh's bullpen has really struggled. So when you do – the thing was the Cubs offense did a great job against the starting pitchers, Keller, Skeens, or Jones. They did a really good job against all three of those guys to either run the pitch count up and get them out early, which they did against Skeens in the third game. He was at 90-plus pitches in the fifth inning, which was an outstanding job by the offense. And they were down, but they got him out, and then they got to their bullpen. So everything that you were supposed to do in that series against the starters you did so you could get to the weaker part of that club, and they did it. And that's why you win those games.
Convos with Coomer is sponsored by EOC Audio, Chicago's leader in audio, video networks, and home automation, EOCAudio.com. So I can't believe we've gone this far without just marveling at what Pete Crow Armstrong is doing over his last 23 games, whatever the number is. The guy he's become a catalyst. And down at the back end of the order, but a catalyst. And you see, like, if he gets on base, he's going to be coming home. If he gets on first, he's stealing. He has been as advertised, and it took a little while, but it really has been fun to watch him of late.
It has been. It's been, and he is one of those guys that we used to see years ago that their speed can take over a ball game because they can get on base. And you talk about disruption of the opposing team when he's on base. That is, it's pretty amazing. And he's going to get better at it. You know, he's still got some learning to do in the league of pitchers, catchers. But, I mean, how much more success can you have when they can't throw him out now? So, pretty incredible. The thing to me that's been great about Pete is he's in a better position to hit in his launch position when he gets loaded and back. And he's not over swinging now. There's not these big wild swings. He's seeing the ball and then just attacking what he sees. He's hit numerous balls the other way on the line and on the ground. And to me, you know, that one hopper through the infield, that line drive, if he can keep the ball out of the air the other way and really learn that skill and still pull the ball. And when they pitch him in, go ahead and pull. They throw that slider down and in, go ahead and pull it. And if you hit it out of the park, great. But if he can use the other side of the diamond along with that pull side, he's going to be tough to deal with. And he hits the ball on the ground. And if an infielder has to go to his right to field the ball on that side of the diamond, whether it be shortstop or third baseman, good luck. Because now you got to try to throw him out. That's not going to be an easy thing to do. It's fun to watch. And he's just getting better in all facets of the game with a lot of confidence, too.
So, Ron, one of my listening joys of hearing you and Pat and Zach is when you talk about the umpire squeezing the zone on pitchers on the mound. Usually it's the Cubs. Sometimes it's the opponents. But the other day, I felt like you were talking about Kyle Hendricks struggling with that they weren't really giving him a lot of wiggle room, and that there were some calls that did not go his way. And I think some people feel like that might have contributed to his poor outing, as well as Paredes not really playing that ball as well as he could have. There were some factors, whether he was getting squeezed or whether there was bad defense. But Kyle Hendricks, Coom, didn't have it. And I wonder, for a team that has to win every game, can they afford to put Kyle Hendricks back out there his next start?
Yeah, I guess that's a great question. I would agree with everything you said, you know, and people probably say that I'm, you know, I was maybe over the top with pulling for Kyle and needing, I know he needs certain pitches called. And if an umpire is not going to call them pitches, he's in trouble, right? I mean, it's just, that's the way it is. It's going to be a difficult outing for him on that day because they're going to force him to go more to the middle of the plate and pitch more in the strike zone, which has never been his forte. So, I think that's a tough one. It would not surprise me if they make a move, unfortunately, or make it a bullpen day and see where that's going to go. And the other thing too, you don't know how he's feeling. It's a hard one because you know, we all pull for Kyle and, you know, that was the Pittsburgh Pirates and, you know, they thumped them pretty good. And we didn't do anything behind them, right? We didn't, whether it be offense, defense, we do kind of struggled at times playing for him. But, I hate to see that because he's such a good guy and he's been such a massive part of the success of this organization.
So when we talk about the fact that they scored so many runs in Pittsburgh and the fact that they came back historically in that game, despite falling behind by 7 runs and just dominated. It was just an amazing thing to watch. The catcher position has suddenly started catching some fire. I'm just saying, you know, you get a guy. How do they get these catchers? They seem to do it every year, these veteran catchers. And Amaya was playing great, too. It's just the catcher position suddenly isn't one where you're thinking, God, who's available in free agency? You're shifting a little in the way you think about it.
Yeah, well, here's the situation with Maya. I know, it was 2 months ago. I forget exactly how long ago, but they gave Amaya the weekend off. He did not catch the entire weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And they went to the cage with Amaya. And multiple people, the hitting coaches, the manager, they all went to the cage and they started working with Amaya. And they looked at film and they started working with him. And what they saw and what they've tried to correct has worked. They've put him in a much better position to hit. They've got him loaded and launched. He's a really strong kid. So they got him in a position where he can make a pass at the ball, and it's a good one. And the other thing about that is he can recognize the pitch much sooner because he's not moving. His body's not moving. His head's not moving. And now all of a sudden he's recognizing the pitch much, much better. And like I said, he's a strong kid. He puts the barrel on the ball. The ball jumps. And they've fixed his issues. You know, he would just not get loaded. And he would sit in the middle. His weight would be in the middle. And you can't swing or do anything from the middle. You just can't. So that was one of the things they did with him. And then, you know, they caught fire with Bethancourt. I mean, it's just that simple. He was a guy that is really known as a thrower from behind the plate. That's his forte, and he's done that. But talk about hitting. He's sprayed the ball around the field. He's done a good job behind the plate. He throws excellent. But the offense, every time he gets in the game, he does something big offensively. So it's been, you know, you look at the bottom of the lineup over this last week, the 8-9 spot between Pete Crow Armstrong and Amaya Bethancourt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how many runs they've driven in and how many runs they've scored in the 8-9 spot. I guarantee you they lead the league in the last 2 weeks in run production out of those two spots in the entire league.
Tonight, the Cubs continue the road trip in D.C. against the Nationals. Pregame coverage begins at 5:10 with first pitch at 5:45 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. You're going to hear Ron Coomer, who we're talking to now, Pat Hughes, and Zach Zaidman. Coom, Drew Smyly has been through quite a week. He has seen himself be placed on waivers, the public discussion of what that means to the Cubs organization, and then back on the mound in a position where he was needed. He's a consummate pro. How would you describe the week that he just experienced and how unusual that is for a veteran at this stage of the season before September 1st to go through the waiver process?
It is a little different, especially that it got out. Now, here's the thing that people don't realize, that just about every player on your team gets put through waivers, almost everyone. And they all get pushed through waivers, maybe not at this moment in time of the season, but they all get pushed through waivers, except for maybe your star player that you think you could lose. But this way you can pull them off waivers, and then you've got an idea who, you know, who may have some trade value or whatever the case may be. And so that's very common. That part I understood. The part of, you know, the reasons why, I think, you know, everybody's got their ideas of why and what the issue was or what the Cubs were trying to do. I'm not privy to all of their financial situations or what they were looking at or what they have to make the change with. I don't know all those things. I'm not in those conversations, but for Smyly, it's one of those things where when you're a veteran player in a league and you've been around and you've seen it all, there's not a lot that you go, really? You're like, yeah, okay. I'm going to go to the ballpark and I'm going to pitch because we've heard, you know, you hear the rumors of all kinds of different things all the time. And at the end of the day, you get the ball from the manager or, you know, you go take your at-bats and that's your job and that's what you do. And sometimes there's more noise externally than there is internally in the clubhouse and for you, and you just got to kind of give it the old shoulder. I know this is a boring answer, but you got to kind of give it the old shoulder shrug, like, yeah, okay, here we go. Let's play the game. We got another ball game today and another one tomorrow, and we're in a race, and you can't listen to the noise. I know this is a boring answer, but it kind of is what it is in baseball. You know, I mean, you just got to put your head down and do your job.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
What, why has Dansby Swanson struggled? I mean, you know, we look at him, he's coming around a bit, but what's he batting, like 228 with 11 homers? You just thought there'd be more production offensively from him, and it hasn't been there. It hadn't been there all year. What's the difference?
I think when you look at Dansby's approach, and this is strictly from a hitter's perspective, like my hitting coach cap, if I put that on for a minute, I'm no hitting coach, but you know, I've done this for a long time as a hitter and I'm taught hitting, and you know, his approach to me, the move that he makes to the ball, if we get kind of somewhat technical hitting, goes, his move is towards left center field. So his move towards left center, he can cover the ball in, and that's what he covers. And he leaves himself open to the pitch away, especially something hard or, you know, like fastball slider away. He's going to have a difficult time covering that with the move he's made throughout the season. He has corrected that at times and been able to cover the pitch away. But when you look at his move, he's having a really difficult time trying to get back to, you know, what you talk to as being neutral, where your move goes back at the pitcher, and that allows you to cover the strike zone. He's not been able to do that. And then the opposing teams have been able to pitch around the edges of the strike zone and pitch him away, and he's not able to cover that pitch at times, you know, for the majority of the time. And it's a tough one. You have to make your move back at the pitcher at least to cover the strike zone. If you don't, you're going to struggle, and this league can figure that out in a hurry. And most guys are capable of pounding that area till you fix that hole in your swing.
Coon, because protecting leads now takes on even greater importance with the month ahead. Porter Hodge had a really good outing the other day. Jorge Lopez seems to be injured a little bit. Is this a day-to-day thing with Craig Counsell? Do you think that Hodge is the guy they trust the most? What do you think about the back end of that bullpen?
I think you've got multiple guys back there that are going to match up depending on workload. I would say Lopez is probably one of those guys that could get the ball, you know, in the ninth. Same thing with Hodge. I think you're looking at multiple guys. There's been, you know, multiple guys that have done the job back there. Miller, another one. So you're looking at, you know, those three in particular, if I start thinking about it just off the top of my head, will get the ball late in the game. I don't think anybody's totally locked in on being the closer, but I think those three are going to be guys that end up matching up towards the end of the game. Now, that does not mean in the sixth inning or the fifth inning in a tough game where the game is on the line, you throw one of those guys in the sixth to shut down the heart of a lineup, because that could be the game. It's not the close, it's the game save, right? You're saving the ball game to get to late innings, and you have to do it there. So there's going to be some shuffling of when they pitch, but whenever you think the game is on the line, or whenever Counts thinks the game's on the line, one of those three is going to be pitching in that game in the second half of the ball game.
When it's frustrating to ask this question, because it seems like I'm not appreciating what they've done, but they have won five games in a row twice this year. And I feel like it's great that they're winning all these series and they're having a great month, but they dug a little hole for themselves. So now you look at it and you're trying to figure out what it would take to make the playoffs and where they are and, you know, the favorable schedule. But they've won two of three almost too often. They're winning, so, you know, you're happy about it.
Right.
But you'd love to see a team go on like a nine-game run, something like that. And I get it. The pitching changes, everything is, but after they beat Skeens, you feel like here's an opportunity to really start putting it together and making a legitimate run before you get to the Yankees, before you get to L.A. Do they look at it that way? Is it just about win the series, or do they think, hey, you know, and I thought that was the greatest thing about coming back in that game. It just reminded you that if you stay at it, you're going to win even against a great pitcher because he'll leave the game.
I think most guys, Mike, most players look at it day to day. They know the big picture for the most part, and they know they've dug themselves a hole and all those things. But you can't get tied down or bogged down mentally with the whole situation, because all you can affect is what happens that day. So, for instance, here I'm looking at the standings right now, and in the last 10 games, the Cubs won 7-3. But, you know, the other teams that you're trying to catch, the Braves, they won 7-3. Mm. So you've gained no games in the last 10, and you've played good baseball. The Mets, they've gained a game on the Mets, and they're 6-4. So all these other teams are playing good baseball, too. You know, and that's the biggest issue. You know, you caught the Cardinals and you passed the Cardinals in the wild card situation, but the Mets are still a couple games ahead of you, and Pittsburgh are in Atlanta is 5 games ahead of you. So, you know, you've still got you still need one of those streaks that you're talking about. You still need a 9-10. You do. You got to have one of those if you think you're going to climb. You know, you've gained a half a game on the Mets over the last 3 series. It seems like to me that the Cubs have been 5.5 games out. You've gained a half a game, and you've won 4 straight series in a row. I think 4 or 5 even, right?
Yep.
So it's a tough one. That's the part. You're playing good baseball. You're winning games, but you're losing dates, right? You're losing time on the calendar, and that's the calendar right now is their biggest
opponent,
the biggest issue that they're dealing with. Outside of the obvious, the teams that are right ahead of them.
Well, you know, don't worry about the Mets because the Sox are taking care of them.
They're going to sweep the Mets.
Yeah.
The Sox are going to sweep the Mets.
There you go, boys.
Yeah. Thanks, Coom.
Yeah, there are some dreams that won't happen. Thank you, buddy.
Have a great weekend.
You guys, yep, we will enjoy D.C. and look forward to seeing you guys soon.
All right, buddy. That is Ron Coover. He is the best.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.